Linda Duhirsu. We serve as the co-pastors for this phenomenal community of faith, and we're going to move in just a moment right into worship. I want to say a word of welcome. We have with us this morning, as we begin a new four-week series that we're calling Look Who's Coming to the Table, Alexi Torres. Alexi is a mentor and friend of mine. 20 years ago last month, I took the 6 train from Union Theological Seminary in New York City out to the South Bronx, where at that moment, Alexi was leading young people around campaigns for environmental justice and police reform. She has been an activist and a spirit-led follower of Jesus for her whole life, and she continues in that work in a new chapter. She is with us now as our coach as we begin Table Farm and Table Bread alongside Chloe. So I am thrilled to have Alexi back with us in worship. She was here 3 years ago and is with us again. So we're going to move into song to open worship. This is Oh How I Need You, and we'll just stay right where we are, and then you'll feel potentially led to rise as you as we move in song.
Little else, oh how I need you.
Amen. And I invite you to be seated. We are so gifted to have amazing musicians with us again this Sunday. Omari has joined others with Music Circus. He is, he's gone to Music Circus, gone to the circus. He is, if you want to hear his voice, as we all do, you'll have to do that over these next few weeks as he moves with others celebrating Broadway here in Sacramento. And it is a gift to have Bryce and Ariel and so many others with us this morning. We're going to keep moving in prayer. This is a prayer titled Pentecost by our cultivator for a sustainable future, Chloe McKellier.
I once heard that a herd of elephants do this thing we call discernment, that under certain circumstances cease, chew or shuffle, and stop in utter realignment, like a ballet of giants. They lift their chins to some unseen unknown and are for a moment still, letting something else be shown. I know these times are confusing. 50 days before barley's harvest, and it's no surprise we feel depleted, numb, infuriated that even babes cannot restore us to finally do something different, to stop. Complete annihilation, and if there's power in the doing, there's undoing in the anticipation. Beloved, dear one, flesh, antenna, tusk, and beak, I wonder if the wisdom sought is closer than it seems, kept, haunting by whales who sing and ants who make community and elephants who pray, hearing spirit breathe out immunity to forgetfulness and some lie that together we don't belong to everything else present here, humming maker's song. How did spirit arrive then? Words inflamed, barriers overcoming, that fiery image evoking the power of spirit's wings unfolding. And in days where rising temperatures and fires are reality, can we encounter spirit in her powerful plurality as water? So we may steward ourselves, partaking of her overflowing abundance as clean air, so we may drive less and rest the lungs of growing children as a herd of elephants, feet poised, trunks breathing dust and sunlight, so we may humble our large strivings, redemption found in the quiet moor, housed in compassion's practice there. Abiding spirits roar.
If Amen, amen. Good morning and welcome to the table at Central United Methodist Church. My name is Avery and I serve both as our Sunday morning coordinator as well as our co-farm lead out at Table Farm. We are grateful to root our lives in grace through weekly worship on Sunday mornings, both in person and online. This morning, we will begin a new four-week worship series called Look Who's Coming to the Table. Each week, our community of faith will hear from a different prophetic voice who will share how they see God's subversive spirit disrupting church as we've known it. So this morning, we are grateful to have Alexi Torres with us. Thank you for being here. As a community, we grow in faith in weekly kitchen tables. These are small groups which are the heartbeat of our community of faith. And each week we gather to hold our lives in conversation with the great commandment, loving God, loving our neighbors, and searching scripture together. Our co-pastors lead a six-week series called Growing in Faith to help newcomers move into these small groups. We just began a new series last Tuesday, and we'll have dates for our next opportunities online soon. So if you're interested in that, you can find that on our website. Our children grow in faith with a today indoor version of Godly Play at 9:30 due to the rain. And we'll see how it's looking at 11 o'clock. We may be inside, we may be outside, we'll see. As a community of faith, we reach in love in many ways. We encourage you to join a community volunteer shift at Table Farm. We have volunteer shifts on Tuesday evenings, Friday mornings, and Saturday mornings. And that is a nice image of the mural that was painted more recently. Looks amazing. A note for those of us who are gathering online at thetable.live. Chloe and Molly are there with you as hosts. And if you have any questions or need assistance, you can message them directly or you can just put that into the chat. And when you feel ready, we encourage you to sign in and to find a virtual seat, and that'll allow you to connect with others similarly to how we do it on Zoom. If you would like to follow along with the flow of worship, you can use one of the QR codes that are on the inside or the outside of the pews. It's also right up there on the screen. And if you just want to follow along with the bulletin and the order of worship today, that's how you can do that. If you would like to learn more about our community of faith or stay in touch with us, please text the word new to the number that you see right there on the screen. You could also visit our website, thetableumc.org, and you can find the pop-up that's in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen and connect with us that way. We will continue to move in worship, and I invite you to stand as you are willing and able. This song is new to our community of faith. This is Free by the Good Shepherd Collective.
See, we'll all be free. love shall overcome. Love shall overcome. Love shall overcome.
Love shall overcome. Love shall overcome. Love shall overcome. Yeah. Oh, we know that love shall overcome. Love shall overcome. Oh, love shall overcome.
Amen. This is a passage of scripture found in the book of Acts. Yeah, there goes Dina Ruby. We've made a little shift in godly play because it's raining. We were surprised. And so our young friends are going to go with Emily there at the door and head back to the A-frame. Just so parents know, the A-frame is all the way at the end of the hall. They haven't gone far. This is a passage of scripture from the book of Acts. I think you might say through these 21 verses in the second chapter, all the love dares us to see back then all the way into today that we will all be free. The version I'm reading comes from First Nations. It's an indigenous translation of the New Testament. You can read along on the screen. The tribes of Wrestles with Creator celebrated another great feast called the Festival of Weeks, or Pentecost, meaning 50, because it was celebrated 7 weeks after the Passover festival on the 50th day. This was a harvest festival when the people could bring the first fruits of the harvest to Creator's Lodge in the sacred village of peace. There they would give thanks for his provision. Creator was about to send the Holy Spirit, promised by Creator Sets Free, to begin the time of the great harvest and gather people from all nations who would represent the Great Spirit. The time for the full meaning of the ancient festival had now arrived, and the followers of Creator Sets Free, numbering about 120, were waiting and praying in the upstairs room where they were lodging. It had now been 50 days since the Passover festival. They had all gathered together in one place when suddenly the sound of a great windstorm came from the spirit world above and could be heard throughout the house where they were sitting. They saw flames of fire coming down from above, separating and resting on each of their heads. The Holy Spirit had come down upon them and began to fill them with life and power. New languages began to flow out from their mouths, languages they had never learned. These were given from the Holy Spirit. The sacred village of peace was filled with devoted members of the tribes of Wrestles with Creator who had come for the festival from every nation under the sun. A crowd began to gather when they heard the loud noise. In wonder and amazement, the crowd began to ask, "How is it that these people from Circle of Nations are speaking in our many languages? For we all can understand them in the languages of the places we have come from. There are people here for the festival from nations and places close by and far away who are members of the tribes of Wrestles with Creator and those from outside nations who have been taken into the tribes. They come from the land of victory, land in the middle, land of the ancient ones. Many come from land between rivers, land of promise, land of handsome horses, land of black waters, land of the rising sun. Some come from dry wood and many tribes and the territory of land of tears near the village of strong wall. There are travelers from Village of Iron, both tribal members and the outsiders who have become tribal members, along with those who come from Flesh Eater Island and Land of Wanderers. We can hear them in the language of these nations telling about the great and powerful things done by the Great Spirit. Many were amazed and confused and began to ask each other, "What can this mean?" But others in the crowd just laughed and said, "They are drunk on new wine." Stands on the Rock, along with the other 11 message bearers, stood up to the crowd and with a loud voice said, "Tribal members from far away and all who live in Village of Peace, listen closely to me. I will tell you what this means." The crowd became silent and turned to hear Stands on the Rock. "No one among us is drunk on wine, for it is still the middle of the morning. This is not what you think it is. This is what the prophet creator is, the Great Spirit, spoke of long ago when he said, 'In the last days, says creator, I will rain down my spirit upon all human beings from every nation. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, young warriors will see visions, and elders will have dreams. When that time comes, my spirit will rain down on all who serve me, both men and women, and they will boldly speak my words. There will be powerful signs and omens in the spirit world above and on the earth below, blood and fire with clouds of smoke. The sun will grow dark and the moon will be red like blood as the great and dreadful day of Creator shines like the sun. Then the ones who cry out to Great Spirit will be made whole and set free." Amen.
Amen. Ashe. The scripture said that they would be filled with life and power, and that is what Ashe is. In the African tradition, we don't say amen, we say ashe. Ashe is life force. And so when we agree with something, when we believe something, we say ashe. I give life force to that. And so I say ashe, I give life force to the word that was shared here today. Here we are, brothers and sisters. Here we are. This is the culmination of it all. The climax of the Jesus story. 50 days after the Passover meal, the Feast of Pentecost, a time of gratitude for the harvest, a great thank you for the fruit of the earth, for the sustenance, for what the earth has given. Yesterday, I was at the farm with Chloe, and there it was, that first harvest. The beets, bigger than two fists, look like lobster claws. Peas overflowing, jaguar lettuce, kale, bags full and full of it. Oh, thank you, we say, for the sustenance that the earth gives us and for this harvest. Thank you, they were saying, in the lodge, outside, gathered together, and suddenly, fire and wind. Can you imagine what that must have felt like? This has been a whirlwind of about 2 months. 50 days before, they were celebrating the Passover supper with Jesus. The next day, his crucifixion. 3 days later, his resurrection. 40 days after, his ascension. And now, just a few days later, this. They thought they'd seen it all, thought they'd understood the whole story. But suddenly, like a great gust of wind, there was more to the story. There is more. So much more to the story. And that's the beauty of the mystery of the I Am. The holy, unknowable, yet desiring so to be known God. That there is always, always more. We think that mystery means something that you will never understand. But actually, mystery means something that you can endlessly understand. Just when you think you have it figured out, there's more and there's more. Deeper and deeper. The mystery of God grabs hold of us because the mystery wants to be known. All through creation, in each of our faces, as image bearers of the great I Am, the mystery wants to be known. I am a flow, a fire, a gust, all that we are a part of and all that we are forever invited into. The Great Spirit on that day was an invitation to journey together to make the world new. Oh, it was a time of tremendous fear and great upheaval in human history. So much about to unfold, so much to be unsure about. But there was this promise. They remembered this promise from their prophets of old. They remembered the promise that said, I will rain down my spirit upon all human beings from every nation. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Young warriors will see visions. And even our elders will have dreams. And in that day, and on this day, we are invited to take our place in this prophecy, to dream dreams and envision a new world. And so here we are again, beloveds. 2,000 years well into the Jesus story, many believe we have entered into yet another turning point in the history of humanity. in the human story. Joanna Macy, great eco-storyteller, eco-theologian, says, "This is the time of the great unraveling." She also says, "This is the time of the great turning." And we see it all around us. Unprecedented violence, massive income inequality, climate catastrophe, pandemic. There is so much, so much to feel like we want to hide from and be away from. But that's not what church is for. Never to hide in this holy building. Never. Arundhati Roy says that we can experience this time in human history like a hole, like a massive gaping hole that we fall through, free falling, no familiar reference places, with tremendous fear, or we can choose to see this holy moment as a portal, as an opening, an invitation to a new world. Because this, my friends, is the pattern, the eternal pattern of death and resurrection that we are invited into over and over and over again. We say, well, won't God protect us from it all? You know, and one of the toughest but most important lessons I've learned in my journey has been that actually may not happen. I lost a dear pastor, I lost my brother-in-law during the pandemic. So much loss. The beautiful teacher and theologian Jim Finley says this. He says it this way. He says, God protects us from nothing, but yet unexplainably sustains us in all things. And he sustains us, God sustains us through the great turning and even this great unraveling. Even here at the table, no place left without the invitation for the question, for new directions. Where is Spirit calling us now? The theologian Jonathan Edwards says, the task of every generation is to find the direction in which the Holy Spirit, the Great Spirit, is moving, and then to move in that direction. Where is the Great Spirit moving now, friends? What is our task in this generation? There are lots of answers, lots of questions. I have four thoughts about where Spirit is calling us in this moment in human history. One is to build community and belonging as if your life depended on it, because it does. We will need each other in these times more and more, like we have never needed each other before. And we cannot, I promise you, build fences high enough, fortresses, gated communities, locked doors, powerful enough to protect us from these times. We all need to learn to do more, to build community more than just to come together on a Sunday, or to hang out at each other's homes, or to have supper together or party together. We must learn what it is to build true community, to be a protection, to be a fence for each other. On that feast of Pentecost, Creator revealed a mystery about himself. You heard of Creator. You heard of Jesus, Creator sets free. And then we get to meet the Great Spirit, the path maker, the beauty way maker, the one that would help us travel, as we say in indigenous communities, the red road, The longest, most difficult journey, the road between our minds and our hearts. This is the work of the Great Spirit, and suddenly we understand something different about the mystery. It is not just God Creator, and it is not just God Son, Creator sets free Jesus, but there is another one in the mix, the Great Spirit. And so suddenly we understand God is a relationship. God is community, not the triangle, but the circle of love, giving itself away over and over and over, a mutual indwelling, a mutual outpouring. This is the nature of the great I am. This is the nature of the mystery revealed to us on Pentecost. Thich Nhat Hanh, may his soul rest in peace, beautiful Vietnamese Buddhist priest, said, "We are here to awaken from this illusion of our separateness. We are here to awaken from the illusion of our separateness. We will not survive, friends, in the illusion of old stories, of separation, of supremacy, of individualism, of every man for himself, of survival of the fittest. This is the example and the story of Creator sets free. It seems contradictory, yet the example of Creator sets free is that actually to be free is to be bound to one another. The way that the Holy Spirit is calling us in this generation is to bind ourselves to one another, to build community so that we may be free. The second thing I hear Spirit calling us to in this generation is to double down on our commitment to the work of justice. Now more than ever, the church must be a voice for justice. And this is a sacred call, and I will say to you that even over the last 30 years of my work as an activist, I have seen the church become engaged, and yet I have been worried about something. And that is, I have been worried that the church can easily become yet another constituency of people to organize, to go to a march, or to sign a petition, or to call elected officials. And in doing that, while it's important, if we do that and we do not bring with us the Holy Spirit, the breath of the I am with us, the holy calling, the understanding that we engage in the work for justice because it is sacred and holy. If we drink only from ideology, if we drink only from politics, if we drink only from strategy, and we do not drink as people of faith in the work of justice from the deepest wellspring of love and of spirit and of inspiration, then we lose our way. We lose our way. And so this is what God calls us to in the work of justice. It's the same thing God called us to at that Passover supper. It is to say, take, eat. This is me. This is my body. I lay it down for you. I give it for you. I create the conditions with my body, with my life, with all that I have, with my things, with my money, with all that I think belongs to me, but in reality does not belong to me. Belongs to God. My mother always said that to me. She said, "Honey, whatever you have that you do not need does not belong to you. It belongs to God. And need is relative." May we live into the fullness of our humanity. This is what justice work is. It is to look out with the heart and the eyes of spirit and recognize and see that our brothers and sisters out there are not able to live into the fullness of the beauty of their humanity. And it is only in the fullness of our humanity that we can then be free to live into the fullness of our divinity as children of the Creator, as Creator sets free, and of the Great Spirit. The next thing I feel Spirit calling us to in this moment is that to remember that we must remember, put together again, our place in the fabric of creation. We have lost our way here. The lie of supremacy and separation has separated us from the God story that is revealed first. Open your Bible. First, the God mystery is revealed in our connection to earth. And not some sweet, emotional connection. I'm talking, you are made of stardust. You are made of that which is the cosmos, which is the dirt, which is the water. That is what our flesh and blood is made of. We are connected to our siblings, plants, trees, food, all creatures. We are another one. And we have a responsibility to take our place in that circle and to become whole again. Because our separation has indeed been our exile from the garden. It is no surprise that the Great Spirit was delivered on a day that marked the fruitfulness, the potency of the earth, the sacrifice of the earth, doing the same exact thing for eons before Jesus came, saying, the rain, here, take, eat, this is me, I give myself to you. And the food of the earth coming up and saying, here, take, eat, this is my body, I give myself for you. It is the eternal pattern. Jesus came to remind us of it, not do it for the first time. And we see the pattern first in our connection to earth. May we remember, may we be put back together, connect to our earth and to our own indigeneity. Why do I say that? Because many of us believe that it's only us brown girls and, you know, black and people of color, brown and people of color that have indigeneity. No. All of us at one time were connected deeply, deeply to earth. All of us at one time had that knowing for tens of thousands of years. And whether it was in Europe or here on these shores, something happened that created the capacity to so fully separate us in this lie, create this illusion that has led to our destruction. We need to heal. And we need to speak of things like climate justice and ecological justice, not just as an idea or a program, but a deep and abiding spiritual commitment to return to God as we first knew God in creation. And finally, I hear Spirit saying, do not be afraid to let go of old form. We cling to form because it is familiar. Whether we want to or not, to form that is patriarchy, white supremacy, capitalism, institutionalized church, all form. And some of these forms, friends, are in their death throes. The signs are very clear. All things die, and this is their particular time. And for some of us, this dying is tumultuous and painful, and this upheaval feels profound. Yet Jesus himself left his own embodied form, gone, and left us in spirit, formless. If we make idols of form and we forget the substance of the revelation and the substance of spirit, we risk irrelevance. Father Richard Rohr speaks of how that happens and how sadly it is threatened to happen even with this Jesus story and so much of the form. He says, the Jesus story began with man, with a man, that had the spirit, that had the idea, that had the inspiration, inspiration. Inspiration means the breath of spirit. To conspire means let's breathe spirit together. And so Jesus conspired, breathed that inspiration with others, and there was a movement. A beautiful Jesus movement. But like so many things, we take those movements of spirit, of inspiration, and we begin to contain them in a machine. And if we are not careful, that machine becomes a monument, and eventually it becomes a museum, and then nothing more than a memory. We cannot be afraid to loosen our grip on form. The task of every generation is to find the direction in which the Holy Spirit is moving and then to move in that direction. So let's step into that together, hermanos y hermanas, our destiny path, our calling. Too many of us are just surviving, living unlived, purposeless lives. And I say that because we often feel that it is the responsibility of the institution, of the church, of the building, of the administration to usher us in, to show us the way, not remembering that each and every single one of us is endowed with the beauty and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that says, this is yours to do, Alexi. It is not what is Matt's to do. It is not what is Linda's to do. And it is not what is yours to do. But we each have what is ours to do. To build community, to speak spirit into the work of justice, to take our place in the fabric of the earth, and to never be afraid to let go and release form. So this is my prayer for us in these times, that we may catch a vision to reimagine this world, this community, and that we may run towards it boldly and fearlessly. The Reverend Steve Charleston of the Choctaw people says this: something sacred is coming this way. And this is how my ancestors would have said it. In the midst of all this turmoil and confusion, when we cannot see clearly the path before us, when we feel trapped in the situation we cannot control, then I believe the wise elders of my holy heritage would climb up to the high place of the heart, draw a circle of reason and faith around them, and stand and sing their prayers into the open sky of history to come. They would not shrink into a corner afraid, but rise up to catch the first light of what was coming into being all around them. Friends, we are living in a time of emergence. We are the witnesses of a great renewal. The world is full of fear of birth and change, but transformation will one day be our blessing. Do not be afraid, but be believing. Come to the place where the ancestors are already standing. Come and see, because something sacred is coming this way. Ashe.
Those earliest Christian communities, had a way of connecting very literally to where their ancestors were staying. And they called those catacombs. They were burial sites, places where people stood and their feet connected them to the past and to the spirits calling them into the future. And today we might imagine that those earliest expressions of sacred sites might have, like we do, a cross around it. But what artists have found and uncovered, excavated in those catacombs from those first two, three centuries, is that they were adorned actually with images of paradise. Paradise lost. Paradise that we're called to recover. They were adorned with loaves and fishes, platters of bread, one saying, "Bring it warm." I remember the first time I did get on a train in the Bronx. It was 2 years into seminary. I'd been living in books for two whole years. Seska is in her first year, finishing at Yale, and she'll be with us in 2 weeks. And I got off the train and knocked on the door where Alexi was working with these young people. And there were teens there that were giving me a tour of this space called Youth Ministries for Peace and Justice. And there was a different kind of an art piece, a portal that was there in this little room down in the basement called Grace Place. And there's a Puerto Rican and Dominican Jesus and John story of baptism that transports us to the kind of beloved community God longs for us to find. It's a place where we broke bread together as a community, just as we do now. And sometimes we tend to think that these acts can just become rituals and they can be compartmentalized, but we're reminded that it's in food and drink that's offered and shared equally, that actually the presence of God, the Great Spirit, is found. Food and drink are the material basis of life, is how John Dominic Crossan says it. So the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, the communion, this very meal is a political act of criticism and its economic challenge, and as well as a sacred rite and a liturgical part of our life together in God's love. And so we move together now into this prayer of confession.
Our prayer of confession comes to us from Native American scholar and activist Vine Deloria's God is Red. Let us join our hearts and voices in the prayer of confession.
I invite us to stand as you're willing and able to.
The lands of the planet call to humankind for redemption. But it is a redemption of sanity, not a supernatural reclamation project at the end of history. The lands wait for those who can discern their rhythms, the peculiar genius of each continent, each river valley, the rugged mountains, the placid lakes, all call for relief from the constant burden of exploitation. Who will find peace with the lands? The future of humankind lies waiting for those who will come to understand their lives and take up their responsibilities to all living things. Who will listen to the trees, the animals and birds, the voices of the places of the land?
Hear these words of assurance, which come to us from the first century prayer by Clement of Rome. Show yourself to those in need, heal the sick, fill the hungry, give freedom to our prisoners, console the faint-hearted. This way of Christ's beauty and love is yours this day and evermore. Amen.
Amen. And I invite you to join with me in the call and response that is the church's practice for recognizing God, the belovedness of the Spirit in each and every neighbor around us. Friends, may the peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Giver of every good thing. You create the visible world and all it contains. You inebriate it with inexhaustible springs. You said, "Let us make humanity in our own image." You gave us souls endowed with reason and judgment. You gave us bodies endowed with five senses and with movement. You brought us into this paradise of delights. But we scorned your commandment. You rightly thrust us forth from paradise, but you did not wholly reject us in our lost state. You promised to release us from the bonds of death so that we may live and rise from the dead.
Fire of compassion descended and took up residence in the bread. Fire and spirit are in the womb of her who bore you. Fire and spirit are in the river in which we are baptized. Fire and spirit in our baptismal font, in the bread and the cup are fire, fire and Holy Spirit. Christ's body has newly mingled with our bodies. Christ's blood, too, poured into our veins. Christ's voice in our ears and brightness in our eyes. In God's compassion, the whole of Christ is mingled in with the whole of creation.
Let us pray together the words Jesus taught his disciples as they are paraphrased for this day in the New Zealand Prayer Book.
Eternal Spirit, Earth Maker, Pain Bearer, Life Giver, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, The hallowing of your name echoes through the universe. The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the earth. Your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Pour your Spirit, God, upon each of us gathered in this space and over these gifts which are before us. Make this the body and the love of Christ, and make us, through the sharing of this feast, your love alive in the world. Amen.
Amen.
I invite you to be seated. Here at the table, all are welcome to share in this practice of breaking bread together, and all truly does mean all. We encourage those who are at home to gather whatever you might use for bread or juice in this moment. In just a moment, Avery is going to come down the middle aisle and direct us to break bread together. And we're going to do that instead, as we have over these last months, of moving outside and around. Because of the rain outside, we're going to move outside this back door and then back around the side in this way. Linda says this most beautifully most every Sunday. We really believe you cannot make a mistake, whether this is your first time to break bread together or this is a practice that you have made a life practice. All are welcome and all are invited. So friends, this is the body of Christ broken for you. And this is the cup of God's love, the forgiveness of God poured out for you and for all of creation. Amen. So as Avery moves, I invite us to move outside. We encourage those who are praying with candles to stay for as long as you need in this space. Loving God, we give thanks for the ways in which your love is revealed to the world in the simple and sacred and prophetic act of breaking bread at a table to which all are invited and welcome. May your love make us whole and set us free, binding us together in and through your hope. We offer this time in our lives in your creative ways in many names. Amen. As our musicians make their way back up, we're going to pause for just a moment because we're going to ask Colette to come up and join us. Many of us, well, actually last Sunday, Colette was so brave. I did not know this until yesterday. I was with Colette's family. Colette was up all night long at a high school gathering. She got back from at 5 a.m., and then at 8:30, when we realized we needed a third part in order to do three-part harmony, Colette boldly jumped on the mic and said, "I'm in." That is not the only reason we are celebrating her. We have been celebrating Colette. Yeah, that's good. You can keep that going too, Brendan. Hey, Colette came to us almost 1 year ago. We did not know how to do live streaming at all at that moment. We have Corey, who is in the back, another person working behind the scenes. And we give thanks for Corey, who helps us out. Colette, this young senior high student, this young high school student, senior in high school, jumped right in and learned how to do all of these things for us. So those of us that are online can know that we are showing up in that way in such big part because you are stunning and amazing and brilliant and courageous and strong, and we are grateful for you.
So the church is a family in many ways, and we are, as a church body, God's beloved, united by our desire here to be rooted in grace and grow in faith and reach in love and to give generously. And we come together every week to work on this, right? To practice. And like every human family, our church family is formed and then reformed. Lexi was talking about that. Over time, as we're born and die, as we adopt people who join into our community, and as they leave our community to make a home in a different place.
Colette has been part of our church family over this last year, working so hard behind the scenes. We've laughed together, actually. We've gotten to play together. We've also held intense stress together as computers crash, and she and Corey figure out what to do behind the scenes. And we give thanks for each and every moment of our time with you. Colette will be graduating 3 more days of school, graduating and then heading off to the University of Southern California's School of Cinematic Arts. So I invite you to stand as you're willing and able. And some of us come from traditions where it's totally okay to pray and to in this way. And some of us, this will make us really anxious. So just know that either place you come from, we're going to be okay. We'll be in this together. We're going to lay our hands on Colette here. And I invite you to do it in just this way. And on the screen, Corey, I know this isn't normally your thing, but oh, look at that. Even without Colette there, it still worked. Way to go. So let us pray together these words over Colette. We feel sorrow in your leaving, yet we rejoice with you in anticipation of this new phase of your life. We will miss your presence, yet we know you will add much to the lives of those who will be your new family at USC, as you have added much to our lives. So loving God, go with Colette as she moves from this space into the next phase of her journey, now and always. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll stay standing, and our musicians are going to help us with a song came originally. Casey was the original person on this, and Solabel is the artist that creates this, and this is our music team sharing Flow Like a River.
That's not all right. gracefully downstream, flowing so easy. Let your love flow like a river. Gracefully downstream, flowing so easy. Let your justice rage like a fire. Reaching so high, light in the sky. Let your justice rage like a fire. Reaching so high, light in the sky. Everything you wish to see. Look around, there's possibility. Everyone in your community holds the key. Unlocking everything you long to see. Strength alive and possibility. Lean in to be loved as you are. It's simple even though we make it so hard.
Don't 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 make it so hard. Don't make it so hard.
Let the children know like the morning. Dance in the dawn, our worries are gone. Let the children know like the morning. Dance in the dawn, our worries are gone. Let our hope will strong like a mother. Rocking the
So may the Spirit of the living God that comes to us in song, in fire, in love, be with you and embolden you this day and all the days of our lives. Amen.